Stilwell against American General Insurance. Mr. Stevens.
May it please the court. Counsel, my name is David Stevens, and I represent the plaintiff's appellants, Margaret Stilwell and her four daughters, in this appeal of the district court's award of summary judgment to the defendant insurance company in this breach of contract matter. I will argue that the insurance company breached its contract of insurance when it paid on a joint claim when there was no joint assignment, and it paid the creditor, Tuscola Furniture Group, more than $180,000 more than its only valid assignment. I will ask this court to reverse the judgment of the district court and to remand this cause either for the entry of summary judgment in favor of Stilwell's or in the alternative for trial on the merits. The standard of review, of course, is de novo because this is a matter of summary judgment in the district court, and all of the things that are related to a de novo review, such as interpreting the facts and inferences in the light most favorable to the non-moving party, apply here. This is a matter of a $4 million life insurance policy, which was taken out in order to cover some business debts of decedent James Stilwell. There were several collateral assignments that were made. In fact, more than $4 million worth of collateral assignments were made.
This whole case really turns on the November 16 assignment in which Janco transfers to Tuscola, which is actually a related company. They just spin it off.
That's correct.
The rights with respect to Amish land, with respect to Mr. Stilwell's business. If that assignment is a valid assignment, then there's actually quite an underpayment to the creditors, not a $182,000 or any other amount overpayment.
Judge, appellants do not dispute the validity of that assignment between Janco Financial and Tuscola Furniture, which is one of its subsidiaries.
Right, so it's a valid assignment, and you want to infer that there is some no assignment principle in the arrangements as they deal with third parties.
At the time of the assignment that you're talking about, in November of 2000, all of the debt owned to Janco Financial was transferred to Tuscola Furniture Group. It wasn't until some days after that assignment that Janco attempted to assign its collateral assignment under the life insurance policy. It's important to remember here, and this may be a technical point, but it's an important one, that the defendant insurance company was not a party to that contract. It was only a party to the contract that is at issue in this case, the policy of life insurance. At the time that...
But the life insurance policy was assignable.
It was. That's correct, Judge. And it had been assigned beyond its value. The relevant assignments here are a $1 million assignment to First Illinois Bank and Trust.
I know which assignments you want. But you seem to think that the lack of simultaneity of Janco's transfer to Tuscola and then the assignment on November 21st defeats the plaintiff's claim, right?
It's not the lack of simultaneity, Judge. It's the fact that the Stilwells, according to that their contract, were supposed to make new assignments under the consignment agreement. They did not do so, and Janco and Tuscola Furniture Group went ahead and closed the arrangement anyway.
Let me ask you another question. When, if ever, did Mrs. Stilwell file a claim for this $4 million policy?
So far as I know, Judge, she did not, but nonetheless, the defendant...
Why isn't that the end of this? She
because
didn't
the, defense, the defendant insurance company waived that requirement when it went ahead and paid her what was left after it made what we believe to be this wrongful payment to Tuscola Furniture Group. If she hadn't made an assignment
isn't
and they didn't
no
have to
Isn't there no waiver
her,
clause in the policy? There usually is. Just because we do one thing doesn't mean we're waiving the rest of our rights.
Judge, I would have to look at the policy, which is included in the appendix to the brief. But nonetheless, they made a payment. They just didn't make enough of a payment to all of the Stilwells, to Mrs. Stilwell of, I believe, 60%, and the four daughters of 10% each. At the time that Janco, in December of 2000, released its assignments, and writing on the release form in longhand, because there was no language to that effect on the form, in
Wait
favor
a minute.
Of...
You said the policy is an appendix to your brief?
I believe it is, Judge. I could be mistaken. It's certainly in the record on
it's
appeal.
It's in the record. Yeah, I don't think it's anywhere in the brief.
Oh, I apologize, Judge. I thought perhaps it was.
Yeah.
At the time that they wrote in the language in favor of Tuscola Furniture Group, Janco was owed nothing. And Tuscola Furniture Group, if it was assigned the assignment to Janco, could only step into the shoes of Janco. And because Janco had previously signed all of its debt to Tuscola Furniture Group...
Yeah, I find that a really unpersuasive argument, I have to say. These are two related companies. Janco was, until it assigned its rights to its newly created entity, Tuscola, owed quite a bit by Mr. Stillwell. Mr. Stillwell had debts all over the place.
He did, Judge. That is correct.
We know the record never reflects the cause of his death, does it?
I don't believe that it does, no. And frankly, I'm not sure of the cause of his death.
Yeah.
I don't believe it was at all related
anyway,
to anything.
Anyway, no, it's not important. But, I mean, these are related companies. They don't manage to do things in quite the same second, and you make a big point about the sequencing of the assignment, but I think there was certainly a debt to the Janco entities, and Tuscola succeeded to that.
There was a debt to the Janco entity, and had, at the time of Mr. Stillwell's death, Mr. Stillwell owed money to Janco, the insurance company would have been proper in making payments to Janco. But at the time of Mr. Stillwell's death, Janco was owed nothing. And Tuscola Furniture Group was trying to collect on Janco's assignment. What should have happened is that the Stillwells should have made a new assignment to Tuscola Furniture Group. Had they done so, their claim would have been proper. But they did not do so, for whatever reason that's beyond the scope of this appeal. All we're dealing with here is the policy of insurance between Aglick and the Stillwells. It's not ambiguous. No external evidence is required in order to interpret it. No one else's intentions are important. Opposing counsel in their brief makes a great deal of to-do about what Janco believed and what Tuscola Furniture Group thought. That's not relevant here. What's relevant is the contract of insurance between the defendant insurance company and the Stillwells, and there was only one $250,000 assignment on that policy. When they paid $181,000 more than that, they breached the contract. And consequently, we believe that the district court's award of summary judgment was improper. It's also important to remember that the parties here are not only Mrs. Stillwell, who was one of the persons making the assignments, but also the four Stillwell daughters. They have an interest in this matter. It wasn't only what Mrs. Stillwell might have owed to Tuscola Furniture. If the defendant insurance company was making a payment based upon some equitable idea of paying what Mrs. Stillwell owed to Tuscola Furniture Group.
I don't think they're saying that. I think they're just saying that there was an assignment to cover this debt for the Janco / Tuscola entity. The assignment was paid. There was a settlement, actually, on very favorable terms to the Stillwells of the $512,000, a number substantially below the amounts of the debt. And instead of feeling fortunate about that, Mrs. Stillwell and her daughter seem to think that they should get more.
And technically, Judge, they are entitled to more because there was only a $250,000 assignment to Tuscola Furniture Group. Why would Tuscola Furniture Group and First Mid-Illinois Bank and Trust file a joint claim when there was never a joint assignment? And opposing counsel admits in their brief, as they must admit because the record reflects, a joint claim. First Mid had a $1 million...
I mean, isn't it sometimes efficient to do that?
It might be, Judge, except that there is an implication here that Tuscola Furniture Group was attempting to piggyback on the unused portion of the $1 million assignment of First Mid.
Well, that's your interpretation. I'm just wondering, I mean, why isn't an equally plausible interpretation that it was just an efficient way to manage the litigation?
It may be an equally plausible interpretation, but when we're dealing with summary judgment, all inferences are drawn in the light most favorable to the non-moving party. In this case, that would be the Stillwells, and it would lead to the implication that the one rather than the other was more likely. We don't know at this point. Perhaps remanding it for trial would be the appropriate remedy.
You need some evidence to push it over the midpoint, actually. If you just have two highly speculative alternatives, you can't assume that the one favorable to the non-moving party applies. You need some piece of evidence that, if put before a trier of fact, would enable the trier of fact to resolve matters on your theory.
We have two letters, Judge, that were written several years after the death of Mr. Stillwell. The first letter, if I can find them here very quickly, was written on January 26th of 2004. In that letter, the insurance company listed Tuscola Furniture Group as having only one assignment for $250,000. And there was another letter written on March the 5th of 2004 from the defendant insurance company stating that its position was that the Janco Financial Group assignments were released by that release form in December of 2000.
And then they looked into it further, right? Their argument is they shouldn't be bound by their initial characterization.
And I would agree with that, Judge. They're not bound by their initial characterization, but this was their initial position, and they held that position for 4 years before they changed their minds. We're simply pointing out that they were correct when they took that initial position. And reviewing this matter de novo, this court is entitled to find that they were correct in so doing. We believe that there was no joint assignment, so the joint claim was improper. We believe that when Tuscola Furniture Group was paid $181,000 more than the amount of its valid assignment, that the defendant insurance company breached the contract of insurance. For that reason, we believe the district court erred when it ordered summary judgment in favor of the defendants, and we ask this court to reverse that judgment and remand the cause either for entry of summary judgment in favor of the Stillwells or in the alternative for trial on the issues. If there are no further questions, I'll reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Stevens.
Thank you.
Ms. Rothman.
Good morning. May it please the court, Mr. Stevens. My name is Rebecca Rothman. I'm here on behalf of American General, the appellee. Tuscola Furniture Group, TFG, was not overpaid. It held assignments way over the amount of its joint claim. I don't think there's any question that the parties, including plaintiff, intended to provide TFG with protection in excess of the amount that it claimed and the amount of the joint claim. And I don't think there's any question that plaintiff intended, by virtue of the consignment agreement she executed, to provide joint protection to TFG and its lender.
Do we have to pierce the veil somehow between Tuscola Furniture and Janco in order to rule for you?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I don't understand your question.
Well, the assignment that appears, I suppose, in black and white is to Janco, right?
The original,
the larger one, yeah.
Assignment back in connection with the consignment agreement, the first consignment agreement, correct.
And then they spin off this entity called Tuscola. I guess Janco is the owner, right, of Tuscola.
Correct. Janco forms TFG Tuscola basically to undertake its obligations to provide the Stillwells company, Amish Land Country Village, with some preferred or some financing terms that they could not otherwise get through the bank directly. Mm-hmm. So they spin off and form TFG, and at the time they form TFG, they assign to TFG through this assignment and assumption agreement that predates the second consignment. They assign all of Janko's obligations, all of Janko's duties, all of Janko's rights in connection with that consignment agreement, including, it specifically references insurance policy, so including the rights that it had for protection or for collateral under the policy, spins off, and those two parties execute this assignment and assumption agreement. That's on November 16, 2000. November 17, 2000, the Stillwells, as the owners of their company, ACV.
This is Amish Land
Country Village.
Lots of these.
Right.
Letters.
Amish Land, the Stillwells Company, and TFG enter into another consignment agreement, or a new consignment agreement, with basically essentially the same terms, except it lowers the financing cap that TFG is obligated to meet for the Stillwells. It lowers it to 1.25. Same provisions that TFG and its lender is entitled to protection under a policy, and the way that the consignment agreement requires protection is it requires the Stillwells to actually go out and name TFG and its lender both jointly on a separate or on a policy of insurance in the amount of 1.25. What the Stillwells did with respect to that provision and what Janko accepted with its first agreement was it accepted an assignment of the existing $4 million policy as in compliance with the spirit of that provision. So what the Stilwell should have done, like counsel says, is come to the table at that closing with separate agreements or separate assignments, a new assignment for $1.25 million to TFG and its lender. It showed up with nothing. And the closing occurred anyway. The transaction closed, and it closed based on the undisputed testimony that TFG felt it was protected under the prior assignment that it had gotten. It had not released that assignment, and so it felt that it was overprotected. The discussions at that closing, if we're going into that evidence, are undisputed. Mrs. Stilwell attended the closing. She could recall nothing. She could not dispute anything that Mr. Bianchi testified happened at that closing.
Well, I guess Mr. Stevens's point is we can't get into all these conversations and everything. We just have the documents. The documents don't ever finally finish crossing the T's and dotting the I's, do they, to show that assignment of the $4 million runs to Tuscola Furniture Group?
Well, I think that the what we've been calling in our brief the disputed assignment form does. And I think if you look at the disputed assignment form, Your Honor's analysis could stop right there, because I think it's undisputed, and I think it's clear on its face that, and the district court found as much, that the inclusion of the words in favor of TFG showed a clear intent that Janko was not releasing. This wasn't a blanket release of Janko's $2 million policy or $2 million assignment. This was a transfer of that assignment or a release of that assignment, quote unquote, in favor of TFG.
And so, this is the one that initially your client construes as a release and then finally decides, well, no, it's really a transfer.
Correct. This is the one that came in and somebody in data processing sees it. It says it's a fill-in-the-blank form, and they look at it, they think it's a release, and they record it as a release. We go back, we get the claim, we look at it, we say, Janko, you released your claims. That's what we have in our records. Janko, TFG, and the bank then step up and submit a ton of verified submissions that basically show that the intent of the party, the clear intent of the party, was that the assignment was transferred to TFG, if you get that far. But I would submit that, you know, the district court properly found that the plain language of the disputed assignment form shows a clear intent to transfer that assignment rather than to just blanket release it. And if you come to that conclusion, I don't think you need to go any further. You don't need to go outside of the evidence. But if you do go outside of the evidence, there is nothing. Each and every piece of evidence in the record shows that the parties intended that TFG would have assignments not only in excess of the claims that were submitted, but also would have joint assignments, would be jointly protected with the bank. And plaintiff doesn't contest this evidence. What plaintiffs want the court to do is ignore the intent of the party and rule on some technicality that there was never a quote-unquote joint assignment. And I don't think that the court can ignore the intent of the party in this case. The clear evidence of the party's intent is spelled out in the undisputed facts, how this transaction went down. Instead of going into it here, I can if you want me to, but it's laid out in our statement of facts. It's laid out in the judges, in the district court judge's opinion. She's got no evidence to dispute that. Every piece of evidence in the record supports the finding that the joint claim was properly paid to give effect to the intent of the parties, and plaintiff has offered this court and the court below nothing to allow the court to look someplace else and ignore the intent of the parties, which I don't think it can do in any event. But, what they argue in is that the court should ignore this because Janko's attempt to assign its interest was invalid, and to get there, it has this simultaneity, I guess is the word. I was looking for an argument that they've got to do this at the same time. American General has to record its assignment at the same time. There's no support in the law for that. There's no support in the policy for that. The policy, if you look at the policy says that First of all, it doesn't prohibit reassignments. It doesn't require plaintiff's consent for reassignments. It doesn't impose any requirements on assignments for these assignments, these third-party contracts, to be valid. In fact, it says the opposite. It says we, American General, will not be responsible for the validity of an assignment. It goes on to say, and this is, I think, where plaintiff's argument comes in, that we will not be bound by any assignment until it's acknowledged or it's submitted in writing and acknowledged by us. But there's a big difference between saying you third parties don't have a valid assignment and we, the stakeholders, aren't going to recognize that assignment until we know about it. You know, there's a big difference there. So there's no law, there's no facts that support this simultaneity argument. The assignment was validly transferred with the assignment and assumption. The $2 million assignment was validly transferred to TFG. But even if it wasn't, the clear evidence of the party's intent in this case shows that plaintiff herself, she signed off on the consignment agreement, plaintiff herself, intended for TFG to be a joint beneficiary of whatever she had assigned to the bank. The bank owed nothing to plaintiff.
Now, to what extent are you relying on this argument that she never made a claim anyway under this policy?
I'm sorry, I didn't...
To what extent are you relying on the argument that Mrs. Stilwell should have made a claim under this policy?
Well, Your Honor, it's part of the policy.
Mr. Stevens says that you waived it because you gave her some money anyway.
I don't think that's the case. I think that she was required to make a claim under the policy, especially if she was contesting what was going on. And she had full knowledge of the fact that we were going to pay this claim. She had full knowledge that the claim was submitted. She had full knowledge that what was going on. She never said a word. She sat back. She let us pay the claim. She reaped the benefit of us paying the claim. Her creditors dismissed a separate lawsuit that was brought against her to the tune of $400,000 in back rent that she personally guaranteed because it felt that it would get some money. These are people that had a friendship. These are people that had, if you look at the record, there was a reason that they entered into this agreement to help the Stilwells finance their business in the first place. But as far as the claim goes, the fact that she didn't submit a claim, I'm relying on that more so to support our affirmative defenses. I don't think we even need to get there on the policy. There are additional policy defenses that the court can affirm on the fact that American General says it's insulated from liability. You know, those are arguments that we made, but the bulk of the argument is the intent of the parties is clear, and I don't think that the court can ignore it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Rothman. Anything further, Mr. Stevens?
Very briefly, Your Honor. Both of the attorneys arguing today agree on at least one thing, what Mrs. Stilwell should have done. She should have made a new assignment to Tuscola Financial Group. She did not. I said so in my argument. Counsel said so in her argument. The fact that she did not is crucial in this matter.
But, you know, there's something troublesome about this. It may not have anything to do with the case, I concede. But Mrs. Stilwell, as I understand it, filed for bankruptcy. Had she had these assets at the time she went through her bankruptcy, there would have been more for her creditors to have reached. As it is, at this point, I guess if you were to prevail, she would just get this money even though she's had the bankruptcy discharge.
Judge, it's not part of the record, but that happens not to be true. There is, in fact, an agreement with the bankruptcy trustee regarding distribution of proceeds. I'm not personally knowledgeable about what that agreement is, but the bankruptcy trustee knew and approved of the filing of the suit as it is involved in the recovery, whatever it might be.
Okay.
The important thing here, Judge, that I would stress is that even if the attempt to transfer the assignment, to assign the assignment, was valid, and we believe it was not, but even if it was, all the Tuscola Furniture Group can do is stand in the shoes of Janco Financial for those assignments and collect whatever is owed to Janco Financial. At the time of the death of James Stilwell, he owed Janco Financial nothing because Janco Financial had already assigned its debt to Tuscola Furniture Group. It's a highly technical contract argument, but it is relevant. The intention of the parties is not at issue here. We look at the four corners of the contract of insurance, and based upon that language and based upon the actions of the defendant insurance company, they've breached that contract of insurance, and we ask this court to reverse the judgment of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. The case is taken under advisement.